Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night, Chicago. Just talked about the Chicago Cubs seemingly making some moves that have intention towards consideration for being in the playoffs next year. Something at this point the Chicago Bulls don't seem very interested in, or the Chicago Blackhawks. We know the Chicago White Sox are not interested in that. And the Chicago Bears, I'll say they had casual interest, but their invitation has somehow been lost in the mail to go to the playoffs. Eliminated. Not coming back. So I want to do in this section here, I kind of want to walk through a question that producer John Meadows offered up to me. And I think it is an interesting question because I think it deserves a complex answer. If you're watching on YouTube, please comment and question below because I'd love to hear your answer to this question. When was the moment that the Chicago Bears gave up on this season? Or have they not given up? Are they still trying their hardest? And are they just a bad football team? Let's discuss. Now, the first and easy one that I think everyone's going to hit in the comments. And look, you could be correct. And I think as history moves on, and when athletes, you know, when history moves on, athletes tend to have a little bit more candor and reveal some more information as the years go on and you get further away from a situation. But I think the obvious one that will come up in the comments is the Chicago Bears gave up on their season after the Washington game. Now, let's be very clear about something. When we're talking about giving up on a season, I am in no way insinuating that these players aren't trying or that these players don't have pride or that these players go out there thinking that they're going to lose. I can assure you that isn't the case. But from a human being level, there are many factors that go into our confidence, our momentum, and sometimes I'll even say it that there might be some motivation factors going on with this team. And the slip and slide effect that's led into this 8-game losing streak, it definitely does have you scratching your head. Let's be honest. They were 4-2 after the Jaguars game, and no one thought that they were going to the Super Bowl. And at that time on this show, here on Sports Talk Chicago, here on WLSM 890, I was talking about how to decipher what the baseline was from the Chicago Bears team on a weekly basis. If we could find a baseline, we can create a version of expectation that would allow us to understand, is this team for real, or is this team more of a pretender and maybe more of a year away? Turns out maybe this team might be 2 years away. So when I say give up, it isn't so much that the players gave up, but that the season became lost and then the tidal wave began to be insurmountable. And I do think that there were moments where maybe some players didn't quite put everything that they had into every single snap at different parts of this 8-game losing streak. So to go back to the Washington game, I am not going to say that's when the season was over or when this team gave up. I'm not going to say that. I think it is the first harbinger of trouble. Were they ever able to recover from that moment in that game? No, they weren't. But I still maintain, and there's definitely moments in the preceding games that let you know that this team still at least wanted to get on the right track. But Washington was the beginning of the end. And it's pretty crazy now when you look back on that week 8 was the moment when the Chicago Bears season was over. But it was the beginning of the end. That next week, I do feel like that the residue and the first inklings of this season being over, I think it happened towards the end of that first half when they gave up that huge touchdown run. I believe it was 35 yards. The Chicago Bears were playing competitive, but offensively didn't really have anything going. They gave up that huge drive and all of a sudden broke the game open against Arizona. And there was a deflation that happened with that team. And that's not when they gave up. That isn't it either. Week after that, New England Patriots game, they lose 19-3. And I think that game is more of a frustration of baseball analogy. You're in a slump, trying to get out of the slump. You try and hit a four-run home run every single time you're up there. You're gripping the bat too tight. You're swinging too hard. And next thing you know, you're 0-for-5 with five strikeouts. That was the New England Patriots game. And that was the beginning of the end for Shane Waldron because he was fired after that game. So the reason why I'm getting it like this is you could easily say that the season was lost up the track. The Bears had given up on the season around that time. But when Shane Waldron was fired, Thomas Brown came in. I do truly feel like that there was a rejuvenation among this roster that woke them up a little bit, and I will say it, maybe inspired them to go out there and try and play better football and to say to themselves and look into the mirror, we are better than this and we can do better than this. And we saw it in the preceding games against the division. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and say the Chicago Bears played a great game against Minnesota. It was a thrilling finish. Took them to overtime. I am not going to say they played a great game against the Detroit Lions. They were down 16-0 at one point. But those were moments, at least with Thomas Brown in place, where the Chicago Bears looked a little alive. They could have won those games. And unfortunately, it had nothing to do with the Chicago Bears giving up on the season at that point. For me, that was coming down to the old Denny Green phrase of, we are who they thought they were. From the moment this season began, I spent 6 weeks trying to figure out what was the baseline for this team. What could we casually expect objectively on a week-to-week basis from this team? Competitive, dominant, inconsistent, bad. And for the most part, the Chicago Bears all season long have been unable to put together four quarters of football. It's been there since week one. And it was also there when they won four, and they won and moved to 4-2 beating the Jaguars. In that game, terrible first quarter. The only game that they probably put together even a semblance of four quarters was against the Carolina Panthers. And should we really even count that? I don't think we should. So this whole time trying to find a baseline of what the Chicago Bears, what the Chicago Bears team is, we never found it. This team is inconsistent, undisciplined, talented in areas, sure, but clearly not good enough to overcome the sloppiness of this team. The moment for me when I think the Bears season ended, when I felt like that the Bears have given up, was the San Francisco game. That's where I'm calling the DOA on that one. I mean, they looked uninspired. Defensively, they were getting run over. It happened so quickly that they were out of that game before you know it. And that's the moment when you knew that this season was over. Now, I've said on this show that I wanted to keep an open mind about Thomas Brown because A, we didn't really have another choice, and B, why would I turn away from someone that could possibly be an option for a path forward for successful football? I never said I was going to seriously consider Thomas Brown as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and we shouldn't now. And I don't think this is 100% on Thomas Brown. He was given a bad deal, guys. Going through that whole schedule, think about that. If you think they lost it after the Washington game, and if you think maybe they lost it after Waldron got fired, and maybe you think that they lost it after Eberflus got fired, what was left for Thomas Brown to pick up? I picked the Bears to beat the 49ers because I thought coach bump, the players finally win. They got the coaches out of the they didn't want. Finally, they're in charge of their own story, their own narrative, their own team. They're going to come together and be detail-oriented and go out there and win a football game for the first time in almost 2 months. And they did the exact opposite. The players got everything they wanted, and then they no-showed against the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers are a good team, but man, Chicago Bears did not show up to play that game. And then now this Minnesota game at Minnesota, where I think the defense at times put up a decent fight. I thought at times the effort level, or I will say unequivocally, the effort level against Minnesota was better than it was against San Francisco. But it's just a bad football team. That's the Chicago Bears baseline. They're a bad team. We can talk all we want about talent in different areas, but at its core, just the same way we talk about ownership and we talked about coaching with Matt Eberflus, we're not talking about the team. At its core, there's some rot going on there. And I'm really curious to see who's going to be making the decisions on this roster, because there's certain players on this team right now that will definitely do not deserve to be on the team next year. And there's some guys that have to come back because you have no other choice. Are you going to eat the second year of Gerald Everett's money? Bears fan, if you're not even familiar with Gerald Everett, don't worry about it. He was our big tight end signing in the free agency last year. Has done nothing but cause penalties or run the wrong route, and we owe him another year. Can you get rid of Tremaine Edmonds? A high-priced linebacker? When meanwhile we have no push on the defensive line and we need help on the offensive line? And we're going back to it again. We can talk about effort. We can talk about coaching. Another thing we got to talk about is that this team is bad. Ryan Poles, the team that he's constructed, is a bad football team. And I'm guilty as everybody else of when people would say, smart people would say, that the Chicago Bears were building this team in reverse. And I all summer long said the offensive line wasn't good enough. I don't understand what he's trying to pitch to us. This is a major concern. The center position isn't going to work. I was right on that account, but I completely underestimated that sometimes you can't reinvent the wheel in football. And it starts with controlling that line of scrimmage. Unsexy, but it's true. You have to be good on your defensive line. You have to be good on your offensive line, or great on your offensive line, maybe okay on your defensive line. You can't be bad on both sides of those lines. It doesn't matter how many Keenan Allens you collect. It doesn't matter how many Jalen Johnson contracts you pay out. Ryan Poles, when you completely ignore your offensive line and defensive line, these are the types of results that you get. So for me, the season ended in that San Francisco game. We all knew one wins and losses, all that good stuff. Playoffs were off the board. I get it. But again, I'm the type of person that believes there's lessons that can be learned through the last month of the season to win a game. I still have my checklist for Caleb Williams. Still looking for that road division win. Still looking for that win against Green Bay Packers. He can maybe do two birds, one stone to end the season. Packers might not even care in that game. There are sometimes things that you can glom and learn through the rest of this month, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know if we're going to learn anything else from the Chicago Bears team, because I think for the most part they've checked out. They're going to try hard. They're going to play the game, of course. They're going to let their talents express themselves on the field. I'm not saying they're dogging it. I'm not saying they don't care. But at some point, the realization that the season's going nowhere, everything's up the track, and there's less of a team mentality and more of an individual challenge to all of this, it's going to be difficult. And I think the season ended officially in San Francisco. I do not expect the results to look very good over the final three games. And I'm also trying to say that I don't even know if the results we're going to see over the next three games are reflective of a lot of the talent that still remains on this roster. There's talent on a bad football team. It happens all the time. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about whether general manager Ryan Poles deserves to keep his job. We're going to be talking a lot about who the next coach, head coach of the Chicago Bears is. We're going to be talking a lot about George McCaskey and what his role continues to be in a complete and abject disaster of how this franchise and the trajectory of it has been pushed, not just the last couple years, but the last 13 or 14 years. It didn't take much to go, wow, we went from the 2010 NFC Championship game to the Mark Trestman era. And it didn't take much for us to go John Fox to Matt Nagy. Oh, man, Matt Nagy, get him out of town. And it didn't take much for us to get to, man, Matt Eberflus is not the head coach. Took Poles a little bit longer. But those stack up, and that turns into 13 or 14 years. Insanity is repeating itself up at Hallis Hall. And the saddest part is that we have to pick and choose when we think this season was really over. Or when this team, the culture, the belief system in each other or what they were trying to accomplish caved in on each other and crumbled. Some might say the Washington game. Some might say the end of the first half against Arizona. Some might say only scoring 3 points against the New England Patriots. Some might say some of the boneheaded moves made by Matt Eberflus in the Green Bay game, Minnesota on the defensive drive in overtime, and then obviously the death knell, the final timeout, the timeout that he'll keep for the rest of his life against Detroit. I'm going with the one after it, the San Francisco game, because at the very least, these players have been talking a lot, and I love hearing players' perspectives. I think it's a great way as a fan to understand the human element and how difficult it is to play a professional sport. But at the same time, we've been hearing a lot from these players talking about coaching and what's going right, what's going wrong. And I really thought, not because of Thomas Brown, just because they had agency and they were being empowered to take care of their own story on this one. Don't like Shane Waldron on the way out. Don't like Matt Eberflus on the way out. We're in control now. We control this message and we control the product that we want to put out there on the field. They had that opportunity against San Francisco, and man, did they lay an egg from the jump on both sides of the football. It was sad. It was sad to watch. And that's when you really knew that this season wasn't coming back. Even after the Washington game, the New England game, they had better performances. They were reinvigorated a touch by Thomas Brown making the calls from the booth up top. The offense at times did look better. What I'm saying now is after the San Francisco game, I do not anticipate any of this looking better. And I'm also not sure how to even really intelligently look at the results and make some determinations on any of these players moving forward. I think I already have my answer on a bunch of these guys. I don't think anything's going to change my mind. And I think that should go along the lines with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, again, I said, peaks and valleys, good stuff, bad stuff. And there's been plenty of it. Caleb Williams gives you everything in a football game. Great throws, holds on to the ball too long, rookie mistakes, time management, great plays with his legs, explosive stuff, leads you back in comebacks, good, bad, great, all of it in one game. And the thing that I've already come to the determination of is the thing that terrifies me the most about him is his inaccuracy down the field. It is wildly off. It's not even close. It's not like he's underthrowing. It's not like he's overthrowing. He's vastly overthrowing a lot of these looks, and it needs to change in the offseason. I don't need to learn more about that in the next three games. I already know that. I don't know what I'm going to learn from the Chicago Bears team in the next 3 weeks. Other than how deep can my pain and sorrow go, Bears fans? And that's the holiday question that you have to wrap your head around with a little bow heading into this weekend and the rest of the new year. Thank you so much for tuning into Sports Talk Chicago here on WLS AM 890. I am Joey Christopoulos. Enjoy your Saturday night. I will be back next week before the new year is over. Have a wonderful holiday, everyone. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. This was Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. We will catch you next week.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.